Second Chance by Maggie Innes. Read by Ruth Urquhart. There is no easy way to tell a woman you've just met that her dead husband's heart is thumping in your ribcage. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. So George took it slow. He sipped the strong dark coffee that Alison had given him, her hands trembling, however hard she tried to hide it. He summoned up the remnants of his counselling training from way back when and created a safe space, kept his distance, feeling his cashmere trousers slip-sliding off the brown leather armchair, while Alison perched stiffly opposite, looking confused and in pain, like she'd been impaled on the pristine brocade sofa. George took a moment, harnessed all his self-help public speaking books and owned the room, broke his story down into manageable steps. First, the long, slow decline. The breathlessness that inexorably enfolded his chest in a suffocating death embrace. The grotesque, swollen limbs. The crushing, constant fatigue. Silent, untuned guitars propped up against the wall in his bachelor bedsit. Well-thumbed cookbooks unopened on the shelf. The social work resignation letter. Muggy days gawping at moon-like faces on daytime TV while gasping for air like a beached fish. Just one toothbrush left in the bathroom mug. A circular heat mark on the bedside table where Zoe had always placed her herb tea when she stayed over. Zoe, who liked hill walking, spontaneous picnics, festivals, and hot, long gymnastic sex. He didn't blame Zoe for leaving him. Or his walking sticks, his blue lips, his puffy ankles, his hopelessness. All his life, people had left him. Why should she be any different? George gave a self-effacing shrug. He could see Alison was gripped by his story. She gazed at him, her eyes an unusual and vivid shade of blue-green. Turquoise, like warm, sunlit Mediterranean pools. They really were quite something, impossible to look away from, so compelling and new, yet somehow so familiar. It was all George could do to carry on. But still, he gave the phone call from the transplant coordinator the dramatic delivery it deserved. A heart was available. On paper, it had the potential to be a perfect match. Could he come in? On the taxi ride to the hospital, George stared at his fingers, pale and waxy and numb, and felt so keenly that his body, his future, was being rubbed out in front of his eyes. He hardly dared hope that this time, this heart, could give him a second chance. George's voice faded. Raising his hand in wonder, he wiggled pink, plump fingers pulsing with life. Some kind of miracle. Alison slowly reached out, appearing equally awestruck, and took his hand in hers. A jolt convulsed George's body. He felt a powerful urge to get up and enfold Alison in his arms. Steady, don't scare her. Instead, George smiled shyly. Alison smiled back. Gladys, the transplant nurse, was the first face he saw afterwards. Milky eyes behind statement red glasses. George could smell lunch on her breath. Cheese and pickle on spongy white bread. He knew Gladys well. It was difficult not to, a mount she had to say. Now she smiled with genuine delight. Everything had gone even better than expected. His new heart was strong and healthy. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. George paused for effect. Alison still held his hand in hers. She leaned slightly towards him. And he felt a powerful sense of what? Recognition? Relief? This too was going even better than expected. He rattled through his post-transplant recovery, so quick and complete it surprised even the most experienced doctors on the unit. His return to work, only to realise he was wasted on social work, and his complete reinvention of himself as...
a currency trader,
Alison asked. This time, George's smile was generous. Got it in one. This time, Alison didn't smile back. George's story had a momentum of its own, racing away from him. He described drinking Japanese whiskey where once he was a Guinness guy, driving fast, playing tennis, pumping iron, becoming socially confident, charming even. Alison was staring now, those turquoise eyes wide and questioning, as though meeting someone in the street and desperately trying to place them. She let his hand fall. George, too late, realised maybe he had said too much, gone too fast. Stupid. He quickly cut the rest. The dreams he'd had pretty much from day one, disjointed snapshots of a former self, a former life, and there, still and serene at the centre, with the physical impact of thirst and hunger and pain and ecstasy all rolled into one, this woman's face. Those eyes, an obsession that bit into his every waking moment and when he was asleep, just grew even more urgent. Until timid good guy George was obliterated and left inside his shell was a raging beast, driven on by an inexorable inner drumbeat. The heart that was pounding even now, faster and faster, insistent and triumphant. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Alison was fast, up off the sofa and heading for the door, but George was faster. Her arm felt impossibly flimsy in his pulsating grip. Touching her again fired another thunderbolt through his body, and he almost gasped with the rightness, the inevitability of it. Don't go, please. Alison was whimpering a little now. George stroked his thumb down the pale inside of her forearm, lacy with veins. He felt her tremble, try to pull away. Don't, it's a lot to take in. Shh. George guided Alison back to the sofa. The bond he could feel between himself and this woman was like nothing he'd ever experienced. He wanted her, not just with his heart, but with every cell of his body. He had to have her. He would have her. They both knew it.
How did you find me?
Alison's voice was small but remarkably calm, considering. George hesitated. Should he tell her how the hospital's confidentiality policy had thwarted him, and endless newspaper advertisements and social media posts had also drawn a blank? Meanwhile, the dreams and desires were eating him alive, torturing him day and night. One day it came to him, Gladys, who turned out not to be nearly as talkative when it really mattered. Trust her. He could still hear the crunch of those ridiculous red glasses as he drove his fist into her face. When she finally dribbled out Alison's name, his heart leapt in his chest, elated to be so much nearer his goal, his destiny. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. No, better not tell Alison that bit, especially not what happened after. Poor Gladys. George remembered he had liked her. Once, but it felt such a long time ago now, a different life.
George, he realised Alison was saying his name. George, don't let him do this. A good and kind person is in there somewhere. Don't let him...
Shut up!
George looked at his hand, shocked. Alison lay crumpled on the floor, clutching her cheek. The mark was already showing, red and hot. George rushed to help her up. But even as he apologised, the contempt was rising like vomit in his throat. She deserved that. She doesn't have any respect. Never has. Never will. George shook his head as though to scatter the thoughts. Bitch. 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 Alison was babbling on. How they assured her the heart recipient was a good man, a kind man, someone who deserved a second chance at life. Someone who would give back, make the most of this sacred gift. They were wrong, George replied. He was an empty shell, a husk. Now he's tasted lust and pain and violence. He doesn't ever want to go back. He can't. He crushed his lips into Alison's.
felt her gasp and go limp, as though surrendering completely to him. The sense of absolute power was exquisite. Every colour was more vivid, every emotion more intense. Then the strength in his arms was waning, and Alison's body felt slippery as silk, impossible to hold. George grabbed for empty air, dropped to his knees, dazed. Breath was hard to find, even harder to keep. He really had to concentrate. Luckily, Alison broke her story down into manageable steps. First the beatings, the humiliation, the imprisonment, the constant fear, then her final fight back. She gave it the dramatic delivery it deserved. As she spoke, George could feel the heartbeat in his ribcage starting to slow. Ba-boom. Alison laughed. It was such a cliche, really. Sleeping pills and whiskey. No seatbelt. Black BMW driven its speed off the road. She played the wounded, grieving widow to perfection, sobbing as she agreed to donate her husband's organs to help others. Ba-boom. As soon as George called, she had sensed it, that the heart, the evil, was stronger than him, would have to be stopped. Still, she wanted to hear him out, just in case. Alison stroked George's cheek. Her eyes, those clear turquoise pools, were now implacable chalky puddles. He struggled to speak, to beg, to say he was sorry. "Shh," she murmured. "It's a lot to take in. Sleeping pills in the coffee, again." But this time, no second chances. Bah. George felt himself being dragged, his head bumping off furniture, over carpet, then smooth flooring. Alison was still talking, her voice sticky like treacle in his ears. Occasional words filtered through. Rented house, false name, leaving tonight. A sharp push and he was tumbling down concrete steps, his wrist giving a sickening crack as it snapped. Far, far away, a door slammed. A bolt shot. Silence. Sour smoke and the first tentative pinch of flames licking his skin. Boom.